Hey everybody, listen, this is Mike, and I'm coming to you real quickly just to let you know that in this episode you hear us talking about our next episode that's going to be Thor the Dark World. Unfortunately, Mr. Loki himself got into some little bit of mischief, and our movie is not actually going to be Thor the Dark World next time. It's going to be Iron Man 3. So, just wanted to kind of plug that in. Have fun, enjoy the episode, and we'll catch you next time on Cape Chronicles.
Hey everybody, welcome to Cape Chronicles. This is episode 73 here on August 7th, 2021. And on this episode, we're going to be looking at the end of a trilogy. The Dark Knight trilogy, that is, with The Dark Knight Rises from July 19th, 2012. Just a little over 9 years ago, this movie came out. This was the movie people wanted to be the springboard for the DCEU. It did not happen. Instead, we got Batfleck. And we'll talk a little bit more about that when we get to those movies. But this movie, we're talking about The Dark Knight Rises, and three other people who have risen with me to talk about this movie is Fred, Carrie, and Andrea, the one and only. How are you all?
I'm good.
I'm doing fantastic.
I am dreading the end of August.
Oh, why? Because school starts?
Because she's a teacher.
Because I'm a teacher.
Yes.
It's school starting. Oh, boy. I am looking forward to a week and a half.
School starts in L.A. like in 2 weeks. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But you know what's nice is that I'm actually going to be watching The Dark Knight Returns with my students. And it's going to be so cool.
Dark Knight Rises, you mean? Or Batman Returns.
Returns. Oh, sorry. Batman. No, it's the one with the Joker. Heath Ledger.
Dark Knight.
Dark Knight. There we go. Yeah.
Nice.
Well, I'm glad you guys are doing well. And at least better than the citizens of Gotham, for sure.
Oh, dear.
And, we'll talk about that here in a second. We are Cape Chronicles. We are a proud podcast on the Random Chatter Network. So go to randomchatter.com. for all of those wonderful and delightful other podcasts that we have on our network. I believe Mike's Movie Minute has just came to a close for the season.
Oh,
it has? Oh, yeah, you have one more.
Back to the Future Part 3 is the last one that's scheduled to come out this week, actually, on I believe on the 11th or the 13th, one of the two. And so we're looking. I'm looking forward to that and getting a little bit of reprieve. And I'm already working on next season. I don't know what I'm gonna do yet, but I'll let you guys know. Great. But we're not here to talk about it. We're here to talk about Batman: The Dark Knight Rises. So here we go. 8 years after the events of The Dark Knight from 2008, we find Gotham at a time of peace. This is due to Batman taking the fall for Harvey Dent's murder. However, a new evil force named Bane has arrived in Gotham and aims to take over the city and expose the truth behind who Harvey Dent really was. Now that Wayne Manor has been completely rebuilt, Bruce Wayne has become almost reclusive, rarely leaving the estate. And with Bane taking over the city by force, it forces Batman to come out of retirement. But his allies are few and far between. An elusive jewel thief by the name of Selina Kyle could be the key to stopping Bane. But whose side is she on?
Dun, dun, dun,
her side. She's always on her side.
Mm-hmm.
I love
what
Selena.
What we got, Carrie?
Selena's awesome. Okay, so this movie was released by Warner Brothers Pictures. It has a runtime of 165 minutes. That's almost 3 hours, if you're counting. Rated PG-13, released on July 19th, 2012. With a budget of $230 million, worldwide gross was $1.1 billion.
Well, with a B.
It had a Rotten Tomatoes scores of 87% for critics and 90% for audience.
Nice.
Wow.
The director for this one was Christopher Nolan. He also did Inception, Dunkirk, and The Prestige. Some of the actors, Christian Bale, of course, is Bruce Wayne, Batman. He was also in Ford versus Ferrari, Thor, Love and Thunder. Gary Oldman played Commissioner Gordon. He played Zorg in The Fifth Element and Sirius Black in Harry Potter. Bane was played by Tom Hardy, who was Venom, Eddie Brock as well, in obviously in Venom, sorry. And then Shinzon in Star Trek Nemesis. Marion Cotillard was Miranda. She was Mal in Inception. Joseph Gordon-Levitt played Blake. He was Arthur in Inception and Tommy Solomon from Third Rock from the Sun. Selena was played by Anne Hathaway. She was Mia Thermopolis in The Princess Diaries and Ella in Ella Enchanted. Morgan Freeman, who needs no introduction, he's in everything. That's awesome. Michael Caine, again, needs no introduction. He is in so many great movies.
Yes.
Especially The Muppet Show, Christmas Carol edition. And I love Mr. Come on.
Matthew Modine played Foley. He was also Martin Brenner in Stranger Things. Bern Gorman played Stryver, who was also Owen Harper in Torchwood, and Murtry in The Expanse.
I almost just spelled that intentionally. Birdie. Birdie.
And if you need a definition, go listen to our Expanse podcast, The Typing. Ben Mendelsohn played Daggett. He was Krennic in Rogue One, Talos in the MCU. And the composer for this piece was Hans Zimmer, who's done many, many things, including Pirates of the Caribbean, Dunkirk, Gladiator, and many more.
My favorite movie of all time is Gladiator.
Gladiator is an excellent movie. Also, Andrew and I just watched
it. It is my number one movie of all time. I don't know why. It's my number one movie.
You should watch it. I like Gladiator.
There were also appearances I noticed by like Christopher Judge from Stargate SG-1 and the guy who played Littlefinger from Game of Thrones. And yeah, like there are a crap ton of other people just popping up all over them.
Yeah, there were. There was like a guy from Prison Break, a guy from Dexter. Yeah.
Who was the one from Prison Break?
It was the corrupt prison guard. He was the one putting Selena into the prison. You should go back and see. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
He played I can't remember his name. I know exactly who you're talking about. I love the show Prison Break. That's
the
why
one that he loved his mom so much. It's kind of.
Yep, and when he ends up like on the lowest totem pole in the prison and somewhere else in Prison Break.
Yeah.
Yes.
Also, the guy who played the mayor looked very.
Dexter Carbonell plays Alfred, he plays Richard Alpert on Lost.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, anyway. There are so many people in this. It's insane.
It was good.
All right, so some behind the scenes and trivia. So tickets for this movie premiere midnight IMAX screening in New York were sold out 6 months in advance, which is insane.
Yeah.
Yes.
While doing promotional interviews for this movie, Tom Hardy stated that the most difficult parts of the movie to shoot were the fight scenes, not because of the physicality of them, but because he was such a huge Batman fan growing up that he said it felt like I was beating up my childhood hero. However, he also said that despite his worship of the character, the moment Christopher Nolan yelled action, Hardy just started throwing punches as hard as he could. I like the fight scenes.
Beast. And I have this further down in my notes, but like if they were trying to make up for the travesty that was the Bane character in Batman and Robin, they managed it.
I kept waiting for Venom to pop out.
Yeah.
This guy, he got jaxed for this movie too. Yeah, like he was big.
Yes, he did.
Writer, producer, and director Christopher Nolan wanted Marion Cotillard so much for the role of Miranda Tate that he modified the film schedule to accommodate her pregnancy. When Nolan invited Cotillard for this movie in 2010, she told him that she was pregnant and didn't know if she would be able to do it, but Nolan decided to keep her in the movie. Cotillard started filming just 1 month after giving birth, and Nolan also made room on set for her family. That is amazing.
That is awesome.
Anne Hathaway has said that she desperately coveted the role of Catwoman and was a complete nervous wreck after her audition. The first time her agent phoned her after screen test, he said he had good news and asked if Hathaway was sitting down. Hathaway immediately screamed, "I'm Catwoman!" and ran around the room in a frenzy. Unfortunately, her agent had to calm Hathaway down. He had called her to let her know that she'd been invited to host the Academy Awards. Hathaway has said she was so shocked she went numb at the offer. Fortunately, shortly thereafter, her agent phoned her again to let her know that she had been offered the part of Catwoman as well. When it comes to casting, Anne Hathaway, Natalie Portman, Keira Knightley, Kate Mara, Gemma Arterton, Jessica Biel, Blake Lively, Lady Gaga, and Charlotte Riley auditioned for the role of Selina Kyle / Catwoman. I liked Anne Hathaway on this. Like, she
thought she did good. Now,
I have no idea why people hated her in this role. She was, like so awesome.
Yeah.
Now, as much of a Natalie Portman fan as I am, I do not think Natalie Portman could have pulled off Catwoman or Selina Kyle. Yeah. However, the only other one on this list I think could have done it was Keira Knightley.
I think Kate Mara might have been able to do it too.
But I think Anne Hathaway was the better one out of all of them.
Yeah. Definitely. So
she should have purred over Batman a little bit more.
Say what?
Nothing. Wow.
Oh boy. So speaking of purring, let's purr on into this next.
Oh dear. Wow.
Okay.
Let's see what you did there. Let's talk about the movie itself. What were some of y'all's overall thoughts on this movie? Some of your favorite moments, moments that you maybe didn't like. Was any of it involved Anne Hathaway, the way she took her long leg and threw it over the motorcycle and how she extended it when she was choking a guy with those 9-inch heels?
She sure put up her assets quite well when she's riding that motorcycle. Just like a cat would.
Oh.
I absolutely loved her outfit. I liked that the goggles that she wore when she pulled them up made the cat silhouette instead of it looking like she wanted to be a pussycat. Like, I absolutely love that. I think Christopher Nolan and whoever did costume design and stuff like that, like, did it in such a natural way that I enjoyed it a lot more. It's really interesting looking at this movie in 2021 after a lot of the things that happened in 2020 and how some of the corruption and some of the themes that are in this movie kind of resonate with a lot of the things that were happening last year. So that was a little bit kind of weird.
You gotta think, you know, this movie was very likely in production when Occupy Wall Street started. And the entire Occupy movement, and things really haven't gotten much better since 2011. So we are kind of in like an evergreen moment of, well, everything kind of sucks, and more and more people are realizing that, you know, we're all kind of screwed unless something changes.
End up. Yeah.
So since we, I could see that, but I want to go back to the Catwoman discussion, Andrea.
Yeah.
So were you there when we watched Batman Returns?
Yeah.
Michelle Pfeiffer or Anne Hathaway?
Oh, Anne Hathaway. I'm sorry.
I love Michelle Pfeiffer, but I like... Okay, so I just checked... I just looked this up. The costume in the comics for Catwoman changed around 2002, and that's when she went from the purple catsuit to looking more like what we see in, say, like Harley Quinn and Gotham, with just, you know, the jacket and the goggles and the and the hood with the ears. And when they basically just made her more of a cat burglar and stuff, and that's I think so. Yeah, I like that Michelle Pfeiffer's portrayal of Catwoman had its place in time and in film history, but the versions of Selina that we've gotten since the turn of the century, and by God, I have to say that makes me feel old. have been much better.
You know which Catwoman I liked?
Which one?
The Halle Berry one. I'm just kidding. She hated that role so much. It's funny.
I watched that movie. I want that 2 hours of my life back.
Yeah.
It was terrible. I thought this movie was a really fitting ending to the trilogy. And I liked the way they blended, they kind of blended the bits of the Nightfall and No Man's Land storylines into the movie. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
Now, No Man's Land originally was, I should say, No Man's Land originally was due to an earthquake, it was not man-made at all. Because the original No Man's Land storyline was kind of jumping off of the idea that they had found fault lines under New York City, and what would happen if, like, a, you know, 6-7 point earthquake hit in New York. But the No Man's Land that they did for Dark Knight Rises and Gotham and Harley Quinn, that's pretty much all been kind of the same storyline now.
Yeah.
I was surprised that the trilogy ended. I think that they left it just like to... They left it with the potential, to do more. And, like, after the success of this one, like, I wish they would have done more with Robin. I wish they would have done a lot more with Catwoman. And, I mean, even, Bane,
Bruce Wayne,
like,
faked his death before it happens.
Yeah. And even, like, Bane, like, did he actually die after Catwoman shot him? I don't know.
Well, that was a good way to not kill your villain, but kill him, so that if you ever wanted to bring him back, you could.
Yeah.
You know, of course we know Miranda died. You know, as far as
we
know.
Did she
die? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she did.
Again, this movie was originally slated. They really wanted this to kind of be the precursor trilogy into the current DCEU. They were pushing hard for this one to be it. And then, of course, you still had Cavill as Superman. I just don't know if Christian Bale as Batman would have worked with Cavill as Superman.
Why?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I think the gruffness that was Ben Affleck, Batman, is what was needed to go after Superman, especially in BVS. I think it could have worked. I just think they wanted to go a different route with the DCEU. But anyways, originally it was. Now, you had mentioned Robin. I will say this. I loved Anne Hathaway. I thought she was phenomenal Catwoman, or Selina Kyle. I'm sorry. They never actually call her Catwoman. I think Christian Bale did really good. My overall thoughts are, is this one wasn't as high up on my list as the first two.
Yeah.
Until this viewing. And I watched it in a whole different light and realized, holy crap, this is a great movie.
And before, I agree.
And before I realized it, I was almost 2 hours into this thing, and I'm like, I am invested in this story and in this movie, and I forgot. And it shoots up for me. It may take over The Dark Knight Returns.
Oh, interesting.
That's interesting, because I watched it this time, and it actually fell for me.
Wow, okay.
So I really like that this was a good closing for the Batman storyline for this particular trilogy. I like how they do callbacks to Ra's al Ghul and Bane and Ra's al Ghul's daughter or child, whichever. And I thought that was so well done, and I really like that. But I have a lot of criticisms about the middle of this movie. Like, the big plot point was they're on this island for 4 months. No way that all these officers that are down in the tunnels survive and look as pristine as they do when they leave. Yeah. All the people that are on the island, like, there would not be enough food to sustain that period alone.
Well, they had the one bridge that they were bringing food across from, and that was pretty much it. And I think Bane was intentionally keeping the police officers alive. Like, no, we're gonna keep all these people alive, but the moment you screw up, boom.
There's no way that the government at the time would allow this hostage situation to go for, 4 months at the end of the movie?
Just about, yeah. 3.5-4 months. Yeah.
I don't know. So that alone really, really stood out for me. The exploding of the bridges was so poorly done. I was really surprised about that. They're all suspension. Well, a lot of them were suspension bridges. They would have collapsed completely.
Interesting. Yeah.
They need that tension to stay up. So when the middle of the bridge goes out, they would just completely fall over.
So one of my criticisms I did have, and I'll throw a criticism in with you too, is Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Yep. I did not like his accent that he had in this movie. I thought it was very, I thought it was forced with the gruffness of his voice. I thought it was forced, and it didn't seem in character for him. But that's one of the unique criticisms I have of this movie.
Yeah, I think the only criticism I really have about the movie is that Bruce wasn't the one to figure out that Miranda was Talia. That he had to be given that information. Like, come on, dude, you are like the world's greatest detective in
what sucks?
Yeah.
And it goes hand in hand with what you just said, that I'm not like 100% invested in actors and actresses and stuff, but when they were doing flashbacks and they were showing the young child climbing and stuff like that, I know the actress. That's Joey King. So I automatically knew that was not Bane. So it just kind of, the ending surprise was destroyed for me because I have already knew the actress. So I don't know, maybe they should have gotten somebody that, like a girl that looked more boyish, but wasn't recognizable.
Would you have known who that was back in 2012?
Oh yeah, Joey King has not aged a day. It looks just the same.
Yeah, I don't know the actress, so I wouldn't have known that. So, but and I thought they did a very good job of concealing the gender of the prisoner who escaped until the very end. I have actually been expecting Talia to show up since the first movie. So I think there was a rumor going around when Katie Holmes was cast in Batman Begins that she was going to be playing Talia.
Oh, interesting.
And that would have totally worked. And As much as I prefer Batman and Catwoman, I love watching Talia run roughshod around Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys like the twist of it, the real villain not being Vane? Because I hear criticism on both ends. I hear people say they're tired of Bane being a sidekick, and he was doing great as a main villain, and then all of a sudden they sidekicked him again in this movie? Or did you like the twist of Bane is ruining everything, but Miranda is just kind of laying low?
I kind of agree that, like, after the reveal, he was just a fool, a puppet. And, like, you know, it would have been interesting if she would have cared more about Bane, because at the very end, she said, okay, well, we're done with you. And it kind of, I do agree, it kind of diminishes the strength that Bane held throughout the whole entire movie.
Yeah.
Because then this one female character, just, like, she's the most important thing, when Bane was the one that was doing everything, and in the end they just make him look like he's just a puppet. And that's not he seemed stronger than that.
Now see, I took it differently. I thought they had more of a partnership until like the very, very end. It's like Bane was the face and Miranda was the one back in the shadows making sure everything went according to plan. Or Talia, because that is totally within the bounds of what Talia's character has been like in comics and in any time she's been on screen.
And I'm with you on that one. That's how I kind of took it.
And also they made Bane intelligent, which is yes. Something that is very, very close to what his character is supposed to be. He's supposed to be a very intelligent person who just happens to get roided up on Venom. He didn't actually use any drugs except to, you know, keep his lungs intact, I guess. They don't really explain that very well, but
this could have been the moment, like when he got shot by Selena. If they had kept going with the story, that could have been what he had needed for, like, Hugo Strange. Somebody had to start using Venom to keep him going.
Ooh.
Oh, my goodness.
In a future movie. So it could have been setting up Bane as a bigger villain later on.
That would have been fun.
Okay. I can see that. Never mind.
So that brings another criticism, and you kind of touched on it a little bit. They did not do a good job of explaining Bane and why he wears the mask. They touched on him in the prison getting Talia out, and he's not wearing a mask. And now he's wearing a mask.
Well, he got severely beaten up.
They said something about the doctor in the prison did something to him, which is why he has to wear the mask.
Like a sideline. If you miss it, you blink, it's over, right?
Right.
So that's a minor criticism. Another big criticism that I have is from the opening scene where Bane's on the plane.
Oh.
And the bigger cargo jet comes overhead. There's no way that cargo jet could carry that other plane for any length of time. They would have gone down in massive flames.
It's you have to suspend your belief.
Yeah, as much as they tried to ground this trilogy in the real world. I mean, this is still a comic book movie. There are still some things that are not going to be, you know, realistic.
But they could have been.
That's true.
I've said this before and I'll say it again. The thing that Christopher Nolan's Batman movies have always impressed me with, and I really, really enjoyed them as DC movies, is how they tie in with, like, kind of like real life scenarios, and how the bad guys are not always bad guys. I said this with the Joker, like, he had his reasoning, and even though he was going about it the wrong way, he had some truths there. And the same thing with Bane and what Miranda was doing, like, understandable why they're trying to do, but it's not the right way to go about it. And I like that. I like those kinds of movies and TV shows where you do have to look at it in two ways.
Well, And that's been like a through line for this entire trilogy. Like, none of the villains in this entire trilogy, Ra's, Joker, Bane, Talia, they have not been wrong.
Yeah.
And as I think I said before we started recording, you know, if you for all you Expanse fans out there, you know, this is like, these guys are like 5-10 steps below what would happen like 200 years from now with Marco and Naros in charge throwing rocks at Earth. You know?
Yep.
Yeah. The solution to the problem can't be let's just burn everything to the ground. Yeah. If you burn everything to the ground, there's nothing left. I mean, we have fires on half the West Coast right now. And they're just, a lot of them are just being let to burn because they have no way of stopping them at this point.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, if you allow that to keep happening, it's not going to be good for anyone.
No, I agree.
Kind of overall thoughts. I thought the score, I know a lot of people complained about
the score.
The music in the movie, but I thought the music was really good in this movie.
Yeah, I thought the score was on point. It really set the stage for kind of like a darker, somber tone for the movie.
I absolutely loved the moment when Alfred is talking about what he hoped and wished.
Broke my heart.
What he visioned would happen when he went away and stuff like that. And then he cries when he thinks that Bruce is dead. And then you see him at the very end having lunch and somebody paces his tab and he looks up and it's Bruce. And I thought that was such a well done moment that tied and closed the whole entire movie. I thought it was well done. Very well executed.
I also like how Blake is basically a combination of the two best Robins ever.
Jason.
No, Dick and Tim. he figures out like who Batman is, like Tim Drake did, although Tim Drake was 9, so you know, and then he's already a cop, which is what Dick became when he moved to Bluehaven in the comics. He became a cop during the day, and he was still Nightwing at night. Kind of like what happened with Titans.
But, yeah. I
also
love
the surprise appearances of Ra's and Scarecrow. That was great.
Yeah, I enjoyed that, yeah.
By the way, Scarecrow is the only villain to show... I saw this the other day. Scarecrow is the only person or the only Batman villain to show up, or he showed up in the most Batman films of any other villain. It's been Scarecrow so far. And wow. He's the only person to show up in all 3 of Nolan's trilogy movies.
Interesting.
This is the advantage of not killing your villains, guys.
And they said that the outfit he was wearing while he was sitting on the stack of whatever he was sitting on, the frills on his elbows were done on purpose to give the illusion of hay and straw from a scarecrow.
I like it.
Again, I wish they would have continued with
They said apparently in an interview last year, Christian Bale was talking because he had just been cast for Thor, the new one coming out, talking about Robert Pattinson as his Batman. And they pretty much said that him and Nolan never had a plan to go on and do a 4th film. They said they just wanted to do 1 film at a time. And then let's go to 3 films, and then we'll stop at 3. So after the second one, they say, yeah, let's do a 3rd one. They enjoyed it, but let's stop it at 3. And they did, and they stopped at 3. and they have no plans to ever go back to a fourth. Which,
well, there's a high risk, high reward in that, right? Like, you can potentially ruin it, and that's if it's been going well. Like, you can do another one, get some more money, but is it going to be to the high standard as the other ones were?
Well,
I would have loved to have seen a Penguin. I would have loved to see Bob and team up. Yeah, I think they would have nailed it if there was another, but.
Well, I think they still could, because we're only almost 10 years away. So maybe kind of like Zombieland, they waited 10 years before they did the number 2 to let the characters age naturally. They could be waiting and just not saying anything. They could be waiting and giving Blake a chance to for 10 years to run Gotham, and then you see maybe he's got to go find Bruce and got to bring Bruce back 10 years later. So again, it's we are in the multiverse stage of
that is true.
DC right now too. So,
but I mean, it
is very possible.
But you know, something else that went through my mind, Mike, is like this, like the end of this movie is like it's completely possible to see where the jumping off point would have been for Batwoman, the Batwoman series, where Bruce just disappears after, after some, thing, and no one really knows where he is.
Yeah. But I mean, I agree with you, Fred, and all y'all. I think it was a good ending to this trilogy. If they never bring it back, that's cool. I think what it did, it did well. It was a lot of movie. I know a lot of people criticize it. They say that the story made no sense.
I don't think
on here and this. There was too much story. There was not enough. I hear criticisms on both aisles, but I think it was I think it was a good movie. I think it was a solid finishing of a series.
I agree.
Agreed.
As far as least favorite moment, was there a moment in the movie? Oh, by the way, did you know that the players for the football team that were on there, when they were doing the national anthem, the boy was singing the national anthem, that they were actual real Pittsburgh Steelers players because they were filming at the Pittsburgh Steelers Stadium.
Oh, nice.
So you had Ben Roethlisberger. You had a couple other, the Pittsburgh Steelers said that they wanted roles in a movie if you're going to use the stadium.
That's awesome. I would have wanted that too. And only one survived.
I honestly, and I get this is probably an unpopular opinion, but I kind of don't understand why Babe waited until after the anthem was over. Come on.
If you're gonna
create chaos, create chaos.
Well, no, he did. Yeah, I agree with Mike. He did mention that he enjoyed the voice.
He
of
did
the
enjoy
boy.
The song.
He said, yeah. "What a lovely voice."
Imagine what a lovely voice. That would.
I'm gonna drop him through the crater in the football field now.
Yeah.
The only other thing I had an issue with in the movie really is I would have liked to have seen the Talia reveal slightly sooner, because Talia is such a meaty character in the Batman mythos. I would have liked to have seen more of her be her and not Miranda.
I agree. I also agree that, I also think that the way that Bane went down was not my favorite.
Yeah, that was probably my least favorite moment, was the way he went out. Yeah. And he was just kind of, I just feel like he just was kind of just pushed to the side for Talia.
Well, Selina shot him.
But no, I'm talking about when Bruce was beating the daylights out of Bane, and then Miranda comes and, Talia comes and just stabs him in the side, and then she just kind of, such a good boy, Bane. Thank you so much.
I hated that.
Did.
It was
now,
like he was
now
a dog.
He is ready to die, and I'm like, are you kidding me? So,
yeah. I didn't like
that moment.
Well, Batman had punched out some of the valves in his face mask, so he was having problems breathing.
I like that.
Too.
Hey,
I thought that was pretty cool.
Hey, the police chief died.
Good.
In his dress blues.
There's some good karma there. I mean, after the first half of the movie. I mean, come on. I love Commissioner Gordon. I fully, on the other hand, I mean, come on. You're going to waste your entire police force going after Batman when someone just tried to take over the Gotham Stock Exchange. Really?
Gary Oldman for the win. Just saying. Gary Oldman for the win.
I like when he finds out that Bruce is Batman.
That was awesome.
I think he's the strongest character throughout this entire trilogy, to be
absolutely
honest.
Yeah. Him and Alfred.
Yes. Oh, yes, Alfred, of course.
Absolutely. Mr. That was good. All right, favorite character.
Selina, Blake, Miranda, I mean Talia, Bruce.
Alfred. I like Bane.
Bane was awesome.
I had troubles with his voice at times. It got really annoying when he talked way too much. But I liked his character. I thought it was very well executed.
This was the Bane we deserved.
Yeah.
So, three favorite characters outside of Batman, of course. Alfred, Fox, and Gordon, of course.
Bane and Gordon to me were the best.
Awesome.
In this thing, so I like that. Which character do you wish that they wrote better when they did this, or do you think wish would have got more screen time? I kind of think I know what Carrie's going for her.
Miranda. Not that they had written Miranda better. Just that they're, like I said, the reveal that she was Talia. Could have given her more time to be Talia.
Yeah. I don't know if I have one that I wished was written better. I wish the ending to Bane was written better.
I agree with that, absolutely.
I wish his ending was better.
I really like what they did with Catwoman and with Robin. I wish they had more, but it was a good enough tease if they were to make another movie or if they were to have standalone movies for themselves.
Yeah.
So because they didn't, I wanted to see more in this movie, but obviously that would take away from the Batman story.
Right. I mean, they could have given us another hour of movie, I guess.
I would have been fine with that, I think.
This is before Endgame came out, so you know, we weren't all primed to watch a 3-hour superhero movie yet. Or some of us are. We are now.
All right. What about your favorite aspect of this film? Like, what was it about you? Whether it was the music, whether it was the characters, what was the favorite thing about this movie to you?
First thing that comes to mind is Catwoman. I enjoyed her in the movie.
She was awesome.
I enjoy, like, the whole entire idea that every single time that Bruce goes to Gotham, he suffers, and there's pain, and that's something that Alfred told him, that he should not be going back. And the fact that, like, even after everything that Gotham has done to Bruce, he still goes and tries to sacrifice himself for Gotham, and I don't know how many other people would do that. And I like that. I appreciate who Batman is in this trilogy.
Yeah.
I mean, Gotham's his home. I mean, you kind of, you know, protect your home.
The Bruce that we get, the Batman we get, is, again, this has been the whole theme since Batman Begins, was that he is the hero that Gotham deserves. And that's what I think we get. And I liked that whole, like, Nolan kept that aspect throughout the entire trilogy. Like, this is the Batman that Gotham deserves. They deserve this kind of a hero. So, all right, quote. Favorite quote.
Ooh.
I Oh, go ahead, Carrie.
Go ahead, Andrea.
I love the original fight between Bane and Batman when Serena betrays Serena. I don't even know anymore. It's late. Catwoman betrays Batman. And while they're fighting, Bane says, "Oh, you think the darkness is your ally?" when he shuts the lights. "But you merely adopted the dark. I was born in it, molded by it. I didn't see the light until I was already a man. By then, it was nothing to me but blinding. The shadows betray you because they belong to me." I thought that was beautiful. "I will show you where I have made my home whilst preparing to bring justice. Then I will break you. Your precious armory, gratefully accepted. We will need it. Ah, yes. I was wondering what would break first, your spirit or your body?" And he cracks his spine. I thought that was awesome.
That shot is like directly out of like one of the covers from the Nightfall story arc.
I thought that breaking is like the
infamous breaking of the Batman shot from Nightfall.
The other two that I liked was one by Alfred. "I've sewn you up, I've set your bones, but I won't bury you. I've buried enough members of the Wayne family." And he's just like so old and so precious. It's like, how can you hurt poor Alfred?
Yes.
And then the last one, and I think that this can resonate with us today. "A hero can be anyone, even a man doing something as simple and reassuring as putting a coat around a young boy's shoulders to let him know the world hadn't ended."
That's a
good one. I like the one where Selena says, "My mother warned me about getting into cars with strange men."
Yeah.
"This isn't a car." I loved Gordon quoting Tale of Two Cities at Bruce's funeral. I'm putting funeral in scare quotes because we all know he's not dead.
Yeah.
That kind of, like, I loved reading Tale of Two Cities when I was in high school. And that also kind of harkens back to, I think it's Star Trek II that Kirk quotes that same line at the end. After Spock dies. So I thought that was really cool. Also, you know, "There's a storm coming, Mr. Wayne. You and your friends better batten down the hatches, because when it hits, you're all gonna wonder how you ever thought you could live so large and leave so little for the rest of us." Because that quote, unfortunately, is evergreen, because
she's adapted.
She is adaptable, but yeah, that quote is unfortunately still very, very valid 10 years later. And it sucks that quote is actually probably more valid right now than it was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Jeez, it's been 10 years.
It's interesting because I really liked the quote when she saves the little kid from getting beaten up. She said, "Don't steal from people you can't outrun." I like that one.
That was cute.
So go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, so I got a couple here. Bane, he says, "Calm down, doctor. Now's not the time for fear. That comes later." And then Alfred, "Is that really painful, Bruce? Well, you're welcome to try it, Alfred." Alfred, "Happy watching. Thank you, sir." And there's another one. I couldn't find the exact quote, but I'm pretty sure it was Selena talking to Bruce, and she says, "Even the rich don't bankrupt like the poor."
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think we've had this conversation on DC Talk about how the rich do prison way differently than the rest of us.
Because you got to keep the house.
Pretty much.
Well, they get day passes or secret layers within the prison. Hello, Lex. I'm talking about you.
Yep. So the only other quote that I really liked was when Bruce is at the doctor, where Jim's at. He says, Doctor says, I've seen worse cartilage in knees. Bruce says, that's good. Doctor says, no, that's because there is no cartilage in your knee.
Oh,
and
dear.
Not much of any use in your elbows or your shoulders. Between that and the scar tissue on your kidneys, the residual concussive damage to your brain tissue, and the general scarred over quality of your body, I cannot recommend that you go hella skiing, Mr. Wayne. Right.
With that laundry list, I am actually amazed that Bruce Wayne can walk without a cane or a walker or, you know, an exosuit of some kind.
By the way, as somebody who daily struggles with knee issues from past injuries, I would like to try whatever he had. And he put on his knee to walk.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was, but I'd like to give it a shot.
Yeah, me too.
I don't have a lot of cartilage in my knee either, so bring it on.
I just tweaked my knee on Monday. I'd like to get whatever he has if that will help me, you know, get back into fighting shape.
So, all right. So some plot holes and some goofs. At around an hour and 27 minutes, polyisobutylene is referred to as an explosive on the film, but is not explosive. Butyl rubber is used to make C4 more pliable, less prone to detonation. At around 15 minutes, when Bruce was checking his computer in the Batcave for the first time, one of the articles about Selina Kyle spelled the word heist wrong. It said heist instead.
Okay.
Selina Kyle operates under the assumption that obtaining the clean slate device will erase her criminal record. Regardless of this, Selina fails to initially take into account that while the clean slate would theoretically erase her electronic criminal records, it will not erase Selina's overflowing binder of hard copy files the Gotham City Police Department has amassed over the years as presented to her by the Blake at the airport. Continuity. In the stock market scene, Bane's henchman that has the tablet that is downloading information is seen putting in his bag. In the next shot, he can be seen doing this again, even though the tablet was already put in the bag.
Oh, interesting.
It was the second tablet.
Oh. That's right.
Redundancy.
The backup.
Yeah.
As Blake runs into the hospital, he is seen to have a long shotgun with a wooden stock and a silver barrel. However, when he is inside, he is seen to have a short black shotgun. I did notice that.
Oh, interesting.
During the final street chase, the characters pass by the name Joe's A Bank Clothing Store no less than three times.
loops.
During this stadium scene, crowds appear full when filmed from the field or the stands, but entire empty sections are seen in the aerial shots.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Factual errors. When the bad guys are taking over Gotham, there are a number of bridges blown up. Some are suspension bridges that eventually have a small section of the center of the span blown away. A simple understanding of an injury would prove that stability is absolutely dependent upon the tension of the suspending ropes that stretch over the tops of the supporting towers. Yet these bridges seem to dangle out far beyond the towers with nothing to hold them up. With this cable's cut, everything below beyond the tower would have fallen immediately. That's what you mentioned, Fred.
Yeah, you got it.
Crew or equipment visible. Camera reflected on glass doors outside Stock Exchange during the fight between cops and Bane's henchmen at around an hour and 35. When Bane is reading the letter written by Gordon, there's a slight skin tone color microphone wire leading down the back of his neck. It continues to protrude repeatedly, especially when he turns his head to the left.
Well, maybe that's what he's using to project his voice. You never know.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
It'd be. I really struggled to find some Rotten Tomatoes because most people, probably about 90% of the negative that I found, everybody said the story made no sense, and everybody else really loved the movie. So this was the only one that didn't really have to deal with the story. That's why I put this one on here, Carrie.
Yeah, aww. Okay, so Rotten Tomatoes says, the worst offender here is composer Hans Zimmer, who might as well show up at every showing of this film and bang everyone in the audience over the head with his drum set.
Wow.
That's terrible. Hard.
It is. But, anyways. All right, Fred, how are we rating this fool tonight?
Well, as much as I want to do, like, a Catwoman rating.
Dirty joke.
I thought I'd keep it clean and do 1 out of 10 broken Batman backs.
Okay.
Okay.
I gotta find what I gave Dark Knight Returns. I can't remember.
Dark Knight. You've been doing.
Yeah, we keep on saying that. Sorry.
Dark Knight Returns is the animated movie.
I don't. Y'all. It is what it is. Yeah. Let's see. I'm looking at Discord because David typically updates it. I'm looking for the
You gave Dark Knight a 9.5.
Boy, that's high. Somebody else want to go first?
I can go first.
I would have put this one.
So even though I had a lot of strong criticisms for this movie, it doesn't take away from the fact of how much I did enjoy it. It's not going to be a 10 in my books, but I will give this movie, what did I call it? 7.5 out of 10 broken Batman backs.
Okay. That's not bad.
Carrie, what about you?
I did give Dark Knight a 10, and this movie is good, but it's not a 10, and I think for me that mostly revolves around my issues with how they handed Talia, so I'm gonna give it a 9. 9 broken Batman backs.
And it's really interesting because all the reasonings and justifications that you just said are the reason why I cannot give it a 10 out of 10, just like I did with The Dark Knight. I find like that movie was amazing. Like, I can't praise it enough. So I'm actually going to give this one an 8 because I would need to go back and watch Batman Begins again, but I think I enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed this one. Not more. So 8 out of 10 broken backs.
I can't remember what I gave Batman Begins. I don't think I gave it a very high score. Maybe I think that because I was really irritated with Christian Bale's voice as Batman. But I know if I gave 9.5 to Batman Returns, that was a great movie. It was near perfection. This one, kind of like you guys, part of my issue with this one is
Batman Returns, you said, or just
no, Batman Begins.
Oh, you gave that one a 9.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, now
you also gave The Dark Knight.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Mike.
I gave The Dark Knight a 9. I thought I gave it a 9.5.
Nope. So the only thing that you have as a 10 is Batman Under the Red Hood, and the only thing you have as a 9.5 is Captain America: The First Avenger. So you have at the 9 level, you have Batman, the 1989 version, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Blade Trinity, Batman Begins, Iron Man, The Dark Knight, and Die Hard.
To be fair, I'm going to give this one a 9.
there you go.
I'm just gonna have to keep it 9 across the board, and I say that because I can't give it higher than Batman Return than The Dark Knight, because I think The Dark Knight is really good. It's really good. I can't give it lower than Batman Begins because I liked this one better than Batman Begins. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of stuck there in the middle with a 9. So whenever we do some some rating readjustments for some of these movies, okay, I may need to alter some of these ratings. Just thinking back on it now, but yeah, I'm gonna give it a 9. I had issues with how Bane went out, and I wasn't a fan of Blake's voice. But it is what it is. So 9 out of 10 broken Batman backs. Next movie, right? For this, this is Carrie's moment.
This is the one I will defend. I will defend
vehemently.
Lizzie, if you're listening, I'm ready for you.
But by the way, if I think correctly, I think Lizzie hates Anne Hathaway as
Yes, she does. So I have many things to defend myself against Lizzie from, but that's okay.
So this is Thor: The Dark World with Natalie Portman, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's a 9.5 just to...
What did I give Thor? I need to find this list again. I seem to have lost it. Somebody share it in our chat so I can look at this list again.
Share it in the chat.
And then we need to do a re-ranking so bad.
You put Thor as 8.5.
See, Thor's going to have to go down. I mean, that's no, never mind. This one's worse than the first one. So next week, or next time, we're going to do Thor the Dark World. Thor's okay there at 8.5.
Mike, you realize that at our current recording schedule, it would take us a year to go through a full re-ranking?
True.
So we may have to hold off on that for a while.
That's fine. All right, Andrea, if nobody else has anything else to say, why don't you close us out here on Cape Chronicles this time?
Right. Well, we want to hear from you. Did you like this particular movie? Did Bane tickle your fancy? Did Catwoman tickle your fancy?
Oh.
You can email us at CapeChronicles@randomchatter.com. You can also find us on Twitter at Random Chatter, at Cape Chronicles. You can find me on Twitter at Cats Bears. That's KatzBearz. Mike, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at TheDCMike.
And Carrie, where can they find you?
You can find me at Carrie Blackfire 42. That's K-E-R-I Blackfire 42.
And Fred?
You can find me on Twitter at Freddy Wong Kenobi. That's FreddyWon Kenobi.
And you can find all our shows at randomchatter.com. We don't just talk about superheroes, we talk about a lot more. You can also spread the word and support us. Leave reviews on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, or anywhere else that you hear our podcast. We will read your comments on air.
Sweetness. All right.
Oh, sorry. And me again. What?
I didn't finish it off for you.
You can. No, sorry. The music that you hear in this podcast is High Roller Mojo by Blue Stally. As silly as this sentence sounds, all trademarks are owned by their respective owners. And this is where the Batman ends.
I'm Batman.
I'm Robin.
What? You're Robin?
That doesn't quite sound right, but okay.
Oh, enjoy the darkness, everybody.
Bye.